The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF in Fayetteville, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Throughout the week on KUAF, you can hear locally produced music from the state's only daily classical music program, Of Note with Katie Henriksen, to the folk music on the Pick and Post every Saturday night with Mike Shirkey. And you can find a schedule of our entire week at KUAF.com. This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, February 8th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later on our show, Mervyn Jebaraj, the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas, discusses Walmart, wages, and the economic forecast for the rest of the year as part of this week's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. First, this Thursday, an attempt to raise awareness and ultimately help fight human trafficking. The latest study regarding human trafficking in Arkansas from the U.S. Department of Health indicates for the last year statistics are available, 2016, nearly 200 cases of possible human trafficking in the state were reported, involving nearly 500 potential persons trafficked. If those numbers seem surprising for just one year for such a small state to you, you're not alone. Ricky Nolan, a third-year law school student at the University of Arkansas, is organizing a seminar on the UA campus Saturday so more people know about human trafficking and that it is far more common and perhaps much closer than many people realize.
And so I wanted to learn more about the issue. And so I took a guided reading course with a professor in the sociology department. And throughout that reading, it became apparent that for someone who doesn't have expertise in the area, who more of a lay person, that an area where you really can be of assistance is in advocacy and raising awareness about the issue.
Saturday's seminar, The Future of Human Trafficking, Contemporary Approaches to Combating Labor Trafficking, will devote much of the day to human trafficking involving forced labor. Ricky Nolan has enlisted people well-versed in the world of human trafficking to speak, including a survivor of labor trafficking. Ricky's very basic goal, make more people aware. Annie Smith, a professor of law at the University of Arkansas and the founding director of the Human Trafficking Clinic at the university, says it's important to give people information about identifying human trafficking and to dispel a common myth about human trafficking, that the people victimized are hidden from our sight.
And that they're maybe locked up in a house or somewhere else. And frequently that's not the case, although it certainly could be true. So trafficking survivors, for example, may be working in a country club or in a hotel somewhere else. So they're coming into regular contact with members of the public. And those members of the public wouldn't necessarily know what they're experiencing in that moment.
Both Smith and Nolan say better recognition of potential traffickers could lead to better reporting to the National Hotline for Human Trafficking. And Annie Smith says that's important because she believes those numbers recited a few minutes ago for Arkansas are likely an underreporting of the number of instances of human trafficking. She says while significant interest has grown in sexual human trafficking, discussion of labor human trafficking remains scarce. Ricky Nolan, the third-year law student who launched this weekend seminar, says creating more awareness about labor trafficking was his inspiration.
In fact, it's the majority is labor trafficking by numbers and the majority of advocacy and attention is often sex trafficking. And so that's why, though we will do some general overview of sex trafficking to see how it fits in the framework, the huge focus for this event is labor trafficking to educate people on how extensive that problem is.
People exploited by labor human trafficking can be U.S. citizens, immigrants, or foreign-born residents. Annie Smith says the practice of labor human trafficking involves any number of methods.
Even when someone is paid properly, maybe even above the minimum wage, they may still be experiencing labor trafficking. So it's when someone is being compelled to work using force, fraud, or coercion when that person doesn't want to, and it can take a number of forms. So, for example, it could look like a guest worker who's lawfully present in the U.S., but where their employer holds their visa and is telling them, look, you need to keep working for me even if you don't want to, and if you don't, I'm going to have you deported.
She says human trafficking involving sex traffic is receiving more attention nationally, and that's good. But she says resources for labor human trafficking need to be stepped up as well. She's inspected federal lawsuits regarding human trafficking that have been filed through 2016.
And all of the prosecutions, the federal prosecutions, were sex trafficking. All of the civil suits that had been filed, and there were not very many, but they were all labor trafficking. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things we're hoping to encourage and to support is for law enforcement to identify, investigate, and prosecute labor trafficking cases in addition to sex trafficking cases, which we certainly don't want to discourage either.
Threats against family members or holding immigration papers are also used to force people to work. According to the most recent data from the National Human Trafficking Training and Assistance Center, the top five sectors where forced labor takes place in the United States are traveling sales crews, domestic work, health and beauty services, agriculture, and construction. Annie Smith, founding director of the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Arkansas, says while some of those jobs involve traveling, the crime itself does not require a mobile component.
The very term itself, I think, leads to one very common misconception, which is that in order for an individual to experience human trafficking, they have to have been moved, which is not the case. So if someone came in here and forced you to continue to work in the studio doing what you do against your will and you never moved from your seat, you could still be experiencing human trafficking.
Organizers of the Saturday event are requiring no tickets, and the seminar is open to the public, including students. Speakers include Martina Vandenberg, founder of the Human Trafficking Legal Center, as well as representatives from the Southern Poverty Law Center and the AFL-CIO. The Future of Human Trafficking Seminar is Saturday from 10 until 3 in the E.J. Ball Courtroom at the University of Arkansas Law School. Martina Vandenberg is scheduled to come to the Carver Center for Public Radio during her time in Northwest Arkansas this weekend, and we'll air that conversation later this month on Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The City of Eureka Springs welcomes award-winning recording artist Asleep at the Wheel to the City Auditorium Saturday, February 17th at 7:30 p.m. Founded 48 years ago, Asleep at the Wheel brings a newfound energy with a few new players while maintaining their own unique sound and style. Tickets available at theaud.org. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra welcomes violinist Ergene Kong Saturday, February 17th at the Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. Under the direction of maestro Stephen Bias, Kong and the APO will perform Violin Concerto No. 2 of Arkansas composer Florence Beatrice Price. ArkansasPhilharmonic.org for tickets.
And ahead on today's Ozarks at Large, we all know words that are opposites, in and out, early and late. You get the idea. Then there are words without a partner. There is no gruntled to counter disgruntled, for example. Then there are words that we think have no partner, but actually do. And our militant grammarian recently came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with the list.
Automaton. So what does it mean?
Automaton is something that just goes through the motions every single time.
Yeah, and it moves by itself.
Right.
Right, yeah. The opposite is heteromaton, a device that relies solely on external forces for movement. So like, I guess, a pair of scissors.
Unknown opposites for other words like placebo, catastrophe, and more. That's ahead on today's Ozarks at Large. Oh, and before I forget, a note that is somewhat related to our story about the human trafficking seminar taking place Saturday on the University of Arkansas campus. On Tuesday next week, that's the 12th, the University of Arkansas branch of Women in Engineering will host a seminar about modern-day slavery. This is from 2 until 3 Tuesday afternoon in room 2273 in the Bell Engineering Center on the University of Arkansas campus. The seminar will feature Michelle Palmer, co-founder of Tuesday Justice, and Doug Nystrom, director of human rights for Walmart. Tuesday's seminar is open to the public, no cost to attend. A week from Saturday, February 17th, there will be a stage reading of the play My Father's War that will benefit Temple Shalom in Fayetteville. The play, written by Robert Ford, is the true story of Private Art Hertzberg, who landed at Normandy on D-Day. Refreshments will begin that night at 6, that's the 17th, followed by the stage reading. This all takes place at Temple Shalom at 699 North Saying in Fayetteville, and it's co-sponsored by Theater Squared Theater Squared first produced My Father's War. Tickets are $30 each and may be purchased at Nightbird Books just off Dixon Street in Fayetteville. Speaking of T2, their current production, Humans, continues this week, and performances will continue through Sunday the 18th. The Humans won the 2016 Tony for Best Play and was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. Wednesday night, the 14th, you have a chance to hear from the playwright, Stephen Karam. He'll be part of a moderated discussion at the Fayetteville Public Library Wednesday night, beginning at 6. This will also include the director of the T2 production of The Humans, Shauna Gold, and T2's artistic director, Bob Ford, and me. That's at 6, Wednesday night, at the Fayetteville Public Library. And yes, that's Valentine's night, but we'll be done in time for you to have time to do something else that evening as well. And later this month, the Children's Safety Center and Arkansas's First Lady, Susan Hutchinson, will host the third annual Partner Plus Prevention Luncheon at the Apollo on Emma Avenue in Springdale. Guests will also be able to tour the Children's Safety Center with Ms. Hutchinson after the event. This takes place February 27th. That's a Tuesday. No cost, but because space is limited, reservations are required and can be made by sending an email to Emily@ChildrensSafetyCenter.org. Emily@ChildrensSafetyCenter.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, we answer the burning question, do Latinos cry more? And Jaime Camil gives us a lesson on how to cry on camera.
And then on the fourth deep breath, you open your eyelids very slowly and then do not blink.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Saturday afternoon at 3 on 91.3.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Today we're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio alongside Kathleen Trotter. She's Executive Director of Arts Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. Kathleen, thanks for coming up.
Thanks, Pete. Good to be here.
We've hosted quite a few people from ACO. Yes. First time to get to talk to the executive director of it. It's really a pleasure.
Last year, we celebrated the 50th anniversary, so we're on year 51.
Wow.
And ACO was the first formal organization, arts organization in Northwest Arkansas. And so it's had a long history of being primarily a community theater. And we expanded on that in 2016 as we recognized that, first of all, the arts across the region have grown such that we need to determine what is the place of art in Springdale specifically, our growing downtown, and specifically our changing demographics with a population of people that bring amazing diversity, cultural diversity, and we want to celebrate that in Springdale.
The annual gala coming up, I believe it's called Arts Rising Gala.
It is February 24th, okay. 7 p.m. at the Arts Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. The name is purposeful because in 2017, we celebrated the launch party, and that was to be able to introduce people to the expansion of the arts that we were doing. Well, that's working.
Okay.
And so this year we are celebrating Arts Rising in Springdale at the Arts Center across Northwest Arkansas, and we want people to recognize that and experience that. Food will be provided by Chef Miles James, and there are games and prizes to be had, some pretty nice prizes, as a matter of fact. But what we also want to do is to introduce people to the kind of arts that are happening, and we have a listening room this year that is curated by Brian Hembry of Roots Festival fame.
Uh-huh.
And he and Bernice will be featured, Smokey and the Mirror, as well as the Honey Dewdrops. And we're really fortunate because they make great roots music across the country, and they're touring this area, and we get to capture them. And I think there's also some other guests in that area.
Nice. Some surprises maybe for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Kathleen, thanks so much for coming up.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
As always, if you know of something cool taking place in your community, let me know. My email is phartma@uark.edu. The Community Spotlight on KUAF, where local matters.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Happy to have the militant grammarian Catherine Churls back with us in the Carver Center for Public Radio. Welcome back.
Happy to be here.
Excellent.
I was a party to an email exchange between you and one of our fans, Professor Emeritus Robert Lawrence.
Former law professor and
yes.
author and all-around good person.
Yes. It had to do with the word disgruntled.
Yes.
And so what tell us about the exchange.
Disgruntled wasn't what started this email conversation. It was Robert Lawrence talking about the word discombobulated and how, you know, and when you're discombobulated, when something's discombobulated, it's a mess or it's out of sorts. So when things are going normally, are they combobulated? And as far as I know, that's not a word.
Right. But you'll be surprised as we go along that there are some very strange words like that.
And my response to him was, well, I wish that all my workers come to work gruntled.
Gruntled.
You don't want to.
As opposed to disgruntled.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So this topic, what this topic that comes up is called an unpaired word, namely one that looks like it should have an apparent straightforward opposite, like combobulated.
Right.
But in practice really doesn't. Some examples are uncouth. I know we hear couth, but I think it's just people making it up.
Okay.
Well, that was couth, but
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Or you're not couth. Or,
right.
So why not say uncouth? You're uncouth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've already learned something.
Disheveled. As far as
he showed up to the party very
shoveled.
Yes.
Or heveled.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
Distraught as opposed to trot.
Yeah, right.
Inert. Hurt.
Right. I love these.
And intrepid as opposed to trepid, I guess.
Yeah.
But there are some words and phrases that do have clear opposite forms, but are so rare and unfamiliar that they tend to remain unforgotten.
Oh.
So, I want to know what this word means, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous. I laugh because there's this old bad Jerry Lewis movie where someone asks him, oh, so you're ambidextrous. He says, no, I can use my left hand and my right hand equally well.
It's going to be even more interesting when we find out that there's an opposite for ambidextrous.
Left-handed or right-handed?
No. When you're ambilivous, you're equally clumsy using both hands. You're butterfingered.
Ambilivous. I could
be. Or livous, yeah.
Dancing, when it comes to dancing, I'm ambilivous.
Interestingly, Noah Webster defined it as left-handed on both sides. I'm sure the 10% of the population who is naturally
right.
left-handed would take offense at that.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
Anonymous. What does it mean?
Well, we don't know who you are.
Right.
Deep Throat for years was anonymous.
Right. It literally means without a name.
Mm-hmm.
Its opposite is onymous.
Onymous?
Onymous. Which is typically used to refer to books, legal papers, artworks, musical compositions, and similar documents, the authorship of which is known without a doubt. So perhaps Shakespeare's plays are not onymous because there's doubt about who wrote
them. Right. They're not anonymous because they're...
There's a name on them.
Right. We say that Shakespeare wrote them, but...
They are not onymous.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Automaton. So what does it mean?
Automaton is something that just goes through the motions every single time.
Yeah. And it moves by itself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. The opposite is heteromaton, a device that relies solely on external forces for movement. So like, I guess, a pair of scissors.
Sure. Sure.
Is a heteromaton.
Right. Okay.
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an opposite to catastrophe?
Yes.
Okay.
It is when a sudden or unexpected event creates sheer joy or good fortune, which, I mean, happens too.
Sure, of course.
It's a eucastrophe.
Oh, I am using that. Eucastrophe.
Yeah. That's a eucastrophe.
What a eucastrophe. I'm rich.
Yeah.
Eucastrophe. All right.
Isn't that great? Distress.
Well, I'm worried. I'm in danger.
Upset, shaken up. Yeah.
A ship is at distress when it's sinking.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but if you've been through a difficult or stressful situation that left you energized and compelled you to work or act better than you might otherwise do, then what would you guess? Distress, and what did we just look at?
Oh, it was catastrophe and eustress?
Eustress.
Okay. Nice.
Now, how often, though, I guess difficult and stressful situations can make you feel better, but...
Oh, if you come through them.
Yeah. Okay, here's a you word that needs an opposite. Now, the you is already on it.
Okay.
Euphemism. What does it mean?
Euphemism is one way of saying something else. So if you didn't want to say somebody died... He or she passed away.
Yeah,
that's a euphemism for death.
What do you think the opposite might be?
Straightforward talk. I don't know. Euphemism. Well, let's go back the other way. Disophism?
Perfect.
Well, okay. So
disophism.
Disophism.
Not phism. Wait. Disphism.
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 And and the definition of disphism is then?
Is the deliberate use of an impolite or unpleasant term in place of a perfectly inoffensive one. Think Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, okay. All right.
For those of you who remember Andrew Dice Clay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Optimum. What
optimum is the ideal situation or condition.
Okay, now, so what is the opposite of optimist?
Pessimist.
So what do you think the opposite of optimum is?
Pessimum? Pessimum.
It's a terrible word. P-E-S-S-I-M-U-M.
It should.
Yes. P-E-S-S-I-M-U-M.
So the pessimum condition is that the car's on fire as it's going off the cliff.
Be the worst or least favorable condition. Yes,
okay.
Right. Okay, placebo.
Placebo is that drug, and if it's a study that isn't actually a drug at all, it's just a stand-in that maybe makes you think because you took it that you're getting better.
And you want, and the researcher wants to find out, is it really the drug or is it the fact that they think they're going to get better that, that affects them? Placebo literally means I shall please in Latin.
Oh.
The opposite phenomenon is called nocebo. Nocebo.
Nocebo. So when would you use a nocebo in speech? Or
a patient reporting that they feel worse despite being given an entirely harmless treatment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It might sound like a made-up name, but nocebo actually means in Latin, I shall harm.
Oh.
So instead of I shall please, I shall harm.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Postpone. What does it mean?
To delay.
Right. So give me a guess at what you think the opposite of postpone is. What's the opposite of post?
The opposite is, there's an opposite to post?
Mm-hmm. An opposite to after.
Pre.
Uh-huh.
Prepone?
Prepone.
So if you and I were supposed to have a meeting on Thursday, but I want to prepone it to Wednesday?
Oh. Isn't that awful?
No, that's fantastic. I want to use that. I want to walk down the hall and tell my colleagues we're preponing this week. And then just walk away and let them figure out. What does it mean if we're preponing the meeting? That's awesome.
Okay. Stockholm Syndrome. What's that?
Oh, when I've been kidnapped, think, what was her name? Patricia Hearst.
Oh, yeah.
When she was kidnapped by the SLA and then took on their cause.
Mm-hmm.
You sympathize and identify with your captors.
Right. And it takes its name from a hostage situation that unfolded after a bank robbery in Sweden.
Right.
In 1973. An opposite phenomenon is called the Lima Syndrome.
The Lima Syndrome, as in Lima, Peru?
Uh-huh. In which the hostage taker who gains sympathy for their hostages.
Oh, interesting. So I kidnap you, and then after a while...
I start to like you. Yeah.
I'm glad to know that one.
Its roots are in real-life hostage situation that occurred after a local militia stormed a party being held at the Japanese embassy in the Peruvian capital in 1996.
And then they end up liking the people that they're holding hostage.
Mm-hmm. And at least from fiction, I think that's common. And maybe it's just fiction.
I was about to say, it seems like I've seen movies where at least one of the captors...
Gets
has a heart
the Lima
of
syndrome,
right,
yeah.
And then helps them out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, you've kind of, what's the word, tipped my joke, but I want to tell you. The discussion reminds me of my favorite airport sign.
Okay.
this one from the Milwaukee airport. In a place where travelers are invited to sit and put their shoes back on or store their computers again after the TSA check, the sign above it says recombobulation area.
It's perfectly done, right? Because you're getting back. You've been discombobulated. You want to become combobulated. Yeah, I love that. Our Middleton grammarian is Catherine Sherrills.
91.3 is supported by Highlands Oncology Group. Highlands Oncology's cancer specialists provide comprehensive, collaborative care, allowing patients and families to stay close to home. With locations in Benton and Washington counties, Highlands Oncology is helping patients fight the battle every day. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com. The Walmart Amp presents Nashville musician Chris Stapleton and his All-American Roadshow with Marty Stewart and Brent Cobb Friday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. AmpTickets.com or 443-5600 for more.
This is Ozarks at Large. I've moved over to the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio, which is next door. That's where Timothy Dennis resides. And this week, instead of Wednesday, on Thursday, we're talking about weekend music.
And we're not missing out on much because there's, as there always is, a lot of music happening this weekend.
Excellent.
I sound like a broken record, don't I?
Yeah, but it's a good broken record.
It is a good broken record. It's not one that's annoying you because it's on repeat.
That's right.
So let's start with tonight. At George's Majestic Lounge, there will be a band called Buku. B-U-K-U.
Oh, okay.
Their bass music, which is a lot of synth and drums, drum machines, electronic music that has kind of a driving, pumping pulse to it. The doors open at 7, music's at 9, tickets are $15.
All right.
Let's move on to tomorrow night at Black Apple Crossing in Springdale. Vanimal Kingdom will play from 8 to 10 p.m. They're a local funk band, and they tend to have a penchant for animal costumes. Just look them up on Facebook.
Okay.
You'll see what I mean.
Okay.
That show, again, is at 8 to 10 p.m. It's at Black Apple Crossing in Springdale. Over in Eureka Springs, Barron Coffee House will have a light-filling singer-songwriter show with Zach Winters and Jason Barrows.
On through the night, I'm gonna pray. Reach for your love and I fade away. I lose touch, turn back, see you away.
That show is from 7 to 10 p.m. and it's free. Also Friday night at New Province Brewing Company in Rogers, Caroline Cotter and Michael Thomas Howard will perform. They're both kind of singer-songwriter folksy type stuff.
I don't want to prove I'm right. I just want some peace of mind. I just want some peace of mind.
That show is from 8 to 10 p.m., but they'll also be at Bike Rack Brewing in Bentonville from 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturday night.
What I like so far about this weekend in February is I'm hearing a lot of names that you haven't mentioned
and,
a lot recently.
You know, there's a lot of people coming into town this weekend, and I kind of wanted to give people something fresh.
Great.
So they're also playing at Bike Rack Brewing on Saturday as part of the Brew Room Sessions. Tickets are $10 at eventbrite.com. Also Saturday night, Walton Arts Center's Star Theater will have Donnie McCaslin.
Right.
And he is a pretty incredible jazz player, saxophonist. He has 3 Grammy nominations and 11 albums under his belt. He collaborated with David Bowie on his last album, Black Star. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be pretty incredible. He's also got a great NPR Tiny Desk concert online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. If you haven't seen it, go look it up.
And that's Saturday night.
That's Saturday night at Star Theater Moulton Arts Center. Tickets are $30 to $50, depending on if you want stadium or cabaret seating. It starts at 7:30. Let's move ahead to Sunday. There are a couple things happening Sunday, actually. Eureka House Concerts has its first concert of the year. They're featuring Wild Ponies, which is kind of a country-ish band from Nashville.
It's become unsettled, their backs against the coming of the storm. Other trees relax their limbs, bend and weave with gusting winds as they stretch and limber up to not be torn. Pull close to what you know. Oh, then let it go. Only in the end, when the winds are calm again, will they see whose roots have hailed, who they'll mourn.
Willie Carlisle from here in Fayetteville is going to open the show. Music begins at 6 after a meet-and-greet potluck. You can find out more information by calling 479-244-0123. Then in Bentonville, Sunday afternoon, House of Songs Ozarks is going to have several local, national, and international songwriters who took part in the International Songwriting Summit recently here in Northwest Arkansas.
Cool.
Our cars crashed in the pouring rain, going opposite ways on Mockingbird Lane. Was searching for someone to save. You just needed someone to blame.
That is from 3 to 6 p.m. at Record in downtown Bentonville. But if you can't make it up to Bentonville Sunday, Monday night, the whole thing will be at Dixon Street Pub in Fayetteville.
All right.
And that one on Monday night is from 7 to 9 p.m. It's going to feature people like Tim Easton from Nashville, Dylan Menzies of Canada, Danny Nichols from the UK, and several others. And both events are free.
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 Just show up. Okay.
And enjoy the music.
All right.
Then Tuesday, February 13th, which happens to be Mardi Gras.
Fat Tuesday.
You have a couple of options. At George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville will be Crescent City Combo.
Oh, they're always so much fun.
They are really fun. They're a super group of sorts of some of Northwest Arkansas's greatest musicians, horn players, guitarists, everything. They are really, really fun. That's mm-hmm. a free show. Doors are at 6, music's at 9. Then in Bentonville at Bike Rack Brewing Company, they will have Mardi Gras with Dr. Nola and the Soul Shakers.
Also fun.
Very fun. That is from 3 to 10 p.m.
Wow, that's a lot.
And then Wednesday, we'll hear more about this tomorrow, but Wednesday on Valentine's Day, there will be a special show at Ozark Folkways in Winslow, but we'll hear more about that tomorrow.
All right. Timothy Dennis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Talk about a little bit more music now. I've invited Lee Wood, who is the host and producer of almost every edition of the KUAF Vinyl Hour, heard Sunday evenings at 5 on KUAF 3, into the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good.
Good. All right. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever, first of all, this is a softball, have you ever listened to a song and realized that there's a sample in the song? This isn't an original composition by the person who made the song you're listening
to. Yes, let me
to.
Tell you a funny story about that.
Okay.
I was listening to Hard Knock Life by Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And I listened to it many times. Mm-hmm. And then I was listening to it with my wife, Laura, and she said, oh my gosh, that's from Annie.
Yeah.
I had never heard the Annie soundtrack.
So you didn't know that was from Annie?
I didn't know.
That's funny.
So
I had an argument with my six-year-old, like yesterday, who told me that It's a Hard Knock Life is from, like, Cars 3. And I was like, no, it's from Annie. Okay, so the reason I bring that up is because all of us have heard, obviously, so much music that samples other pieces of music. Mm-hmm. But how much do you really think about those original compositions?
I think only if you recognize it as something that is an absolute favorite.
Right. So something like Annie, I get that with Laura because I did the exact same thing. But do you even think about who wrote that song? Who are the performers on that? You know, we know who was singing it because mm-hmm. it's a part of the soundtrack. But so on this week's show, we're kind of going back and we're looking at the source material mm-hmm. for a lot of sampled music. And my co-host, Scott Flanagan, has done all the research and hard work for me so I can act like I know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Scott. And we're going to be talking about a musician named Bob James.
Did he do the theme to Taxi?
He did.
Okay, that's how I know Bob James.
Okay. Bob James, probably the most well-known for being like a smooth jazz artist. Mm-hmm. And a lot, you know, when you say that to people, you can watch the look on their face when you say smooth jazz. It's not a particularly well-liked genre, mostly because a lot of people think about a certain tenor saxophone player in the 80s that had really long hair.
And a one-letter last name.
Yes. We will not mention him. But Bob James really is this phenomenal keyboard player, piano player, producer, and band leader that created some of the... He created the genre in the 70s. And it's that music that is some of the most sampled music ever.
This surprises me.
Yes. It's crazy. And he's Bob James put together a band of phenomenal musicians. Funky, jazz, I mean, geniuses. And it's those clips that got picked up by DJs early in the 80s, late 70s, and they started using them as, you know, breakbeats. And then it just sort of took off from there.
Now, we should mention when you say DJs, you mean club DJs
yes.
and not radio DJs.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, in the club when people are, when hip hop is starting to be created.
Didn't Bob James and Herbie Hancock kind of go in the same circles for a while?
They did. They were close. And then there's a great story in this week's show about Bob James being discovered. He goes to sort of a talent show, and Quincy Jones is one of the judges and basically says, oh, well, you're coming with me. This is a two-part show. Scott knows so much of what he's talking about, and he brings so much good music that we're going to make this a two-part show. Part one, we're going to talk about Bob James, the introduction of the man himself and his music, and then we're going to listen primarily, it's really about two songs that have been the most heavily sampled of almost anything else.
Really?
Nautilus is the name of one of them, and Take Me to the Mardi Gras, which is a cover of a Paul Simon song.
Hmm.
It's on Rhyme and Simon. And there are drums in both of those songs and drum and cowbell in Take Me to the Mardi Gras that when you hear them, at least in my mind, I thought of at least five other songs because they're so recognizable. Yeah, so from those two songs and those two parts that get sampled, then we listen to artists like Slick Rick, Young MC, Pete Rock, the Beastie Boys, and on from there.
All right. This
yeah.
is fun.
It's pretty cool. It's a great way to sort of, again, like I said, trace backwards to source material, but also think about where all these sounds come from. You know, I think I take it for granted, and it's really nice now to know the players that played that. There's a drummer that played that drum beat
right.
that we've heard 5 million times, and I'd like to know that guy's name, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
The KUAF Vinyl Hour, Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF3. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
As long as we're talking about locally produced music programs provided by KUAF, a reminder that every Sunday through Thursday night from 8 until 10, you can hear Of Note with Katie Hendrickson, locally curated classical music programming, every Sunday through Thursday night, 8 to 10 p.m. on 91.3. And you can also hear it every Sunday through Thursday morning from 9 to 11 on KUAF2. Friday nights at 9, Paul Kelso gets us up to date with the latest from the blues world with Generic Blues Show, followed at 10 with Robert Ginsberg and Shades of Jazz on 91.3. Robert's been producing Shades of Jazz, well, if you think about it, since before we were 91.3, back when we were 88.9, the 10-watt wonder. Shades of Jazz every Friday night, 10 to midnight. Saturday nights, Mike Shirky, who was also with us when we were just 10 watts, produces the Pick and Post. Great folk music from around the country, from around the world, and from around our region. Pick and Post with Mike Shirky every Saturday night from 7 to 9, followed by Jazz Travels with Steve Wilkes. And if you tune into KUAF 3 on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you can hear encore broadcasts of our classical music programs. For a schedule of all of our channels, 91.3, KUAF 2, and KUAF 3, you can go to KUAF.com.
Walmart continues to buy the parts it needs to better compete with Amazon, and Tyson Foods has adopted a similar strategy with its investment arm. This is the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. Walmart said Tuesday it's acquired a small virtual reality startup known as Spatialand. Terms of the deal were not disclosed. Spatialand makes software tools that retailers believe will be able to transform the way content is experienced. Spatialand has worked with Walmart's Store No. 8 technology incubator on at least one project in the last year. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods, through its venture capital group, also announced an acquisition this week. The company has purchased a stake in Tavala, a Chicago-based food startup that makes countertop steam ovens with fresh, ready-to-cook meals. The meat giant also did not disclose the terms of that investment. Tyson Foods established its venture fund in December 2016 with a focus on investing in entrepreneurial food businesses, products, or technologies to better prepare the company for the future. Tyson Ventures previously invested in vegetarian startup Beyond Meat and cultured meat startup Memphis Meats. There's more information on both of those deals in a story on our website. Just go to nwabusinessjournal.com to learn more. This is the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Despite tax cuts that are supposed to jumpstart a stimulus, economist Mervyn Jebaraj said he sees moderate growth for the U.S. economy in 2018. Jebaraj, who heads up the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas, joined Roby Brock on a recent episode of Talk Business and Politics. Jebaraj says the new federal tax cuts will be positive for the economy in the new year, and he also discussed the latest GDP numbers for both Arkansas and the U.S.
Q4 for the nation came in at about 2.3%, which was 2.6%, which was a lot slower than the previous two quarters, both of which were 3 and 3.2%. So we saw an increase in consumer expenditures, who make up the largest part of the economy, so that part was good. But because consumers were spending a lot more money on goods and services, it also meant that imports went up, which is subtraction from GDP. On the flip side, we saw the inventories of businesses go down, but investment spending went up. So the good news in that report, even though the GDP only grew 2.6%, was that investment spending was up, and investment spending today means jobs tomorrow. So we can look forward to a good pace of job growth in 2018, like we did in 2017.
Well, let's get to 2018. What do we have forecast for 2018, and how does that comport with the big stimulus of the tax cuts that became law at the end of last year?
Right. So there are many moving parts for 2018, but I think, you know, overall in 2017, the economy grew 2.3%, which is, you know, moderate but rather tepid growth rate. It was better than 2016, which grew about 1.5%. Looking forward to 2018, most economists think that the economy will grow somewhere around 2.5% to 2.6%, and that takes into account the big stimulus that we just referred to passed at the end of last year in the form of individual and corporate tax cuts. So including all of that, we're thinking 2.5% to 2.6%, which is just slightly above the 2.3% 2017 growth rate that we had this year. So again, moderate but rather tepid growth rate, not the 3% or higher than 3% growth rate that we would like to see in this country, that we need to see in this country to both pay for the tax cuts and to pay for our obligations in the future.
Well, on the subject of tax cuts, I want you to cut through the clutter for me on this. Republicans have bragged that the tax cuts are the reason for some wage hikes and employee bonuses. At the same time, I could quote you some headlines that contradict those exact same announcements. For instance, Walmart gave a big pay raise, then cut some jobs. Same for companies like AT&T, Bank of the Ozarks, and on and on. What's truth? What's fiction here?
I think we could safely say that wages and bonuses are rather unrelated to tax changes in the upcoming fiscal year, right? So we're looking at year-end bonuses and wage increases. So let's take Walmart, for example. They announced that they're raising their lowest paid wage to about $11. And that really reflects two things. A, that the economy is as strong as it is. The unemployment rate is as low as it is. So to hold on to their workers, they're going to have to pay them more to keep them from going to the competition. So Target, for example, was already offering $11. Target had also promised to go to $15 by 2020. So all Walmart was doing by offering $11 is trying to compete to keep the best workers at Walmart and not let them go to their competition. Same thing with the bonuses. Bonuses are given because the company did well in any given year. You see that for a variety of different companies made those announcements at the end of the year. Difference is that they linked it to the tax cuts, which I guess is more PR than anything else. In 2016, 25% of all workers got a bonus. We didn't see a lot of announcements linking it to just about anything at that point. But we also saw wage increases in 2015 and 2016, and they weren't linked to anything either. So these are all part of the economy doing as well as it has. We are in the 105th month of economic expansion. So to keep on hold of your workers, you're going to have to pay them more. And so it's good to see wages going up. There's been a weak point in this economic growth so far. Bonuses, of course, are a one-off payment and not a permanent thing. So you'll see a short stimulus from that, but it'll go away eventually. The one thing that we can look forward to, I mentioned that investment spending was up in the last quarter of 2017. There will probably be some increase in investment spending, although it will probably be more in the out years than in 2018. I think companies make investment decisions for only one reason, if they think that the economy is strong enough to justify an investment increase. So the corporate tax rate being cut to as low as it is now from 35 to 21% means that in the out years, you know, a few years down the line, we will see more increases in investment spending. But currently, the announcements that we've seen from companies like Apple, et cetera, are essentially just counting up the investments that they had already planned to make given the strength of the economy. So if there are any changes in investment spending from this tax cut, we'll likely only see them down the line. So currently, companies haven't changed their investment spending a whole lot. In fact, if they had money offshore, they do just as well to borrow against it and spend money here domestically if they think that they can make more money investing it than earning interest off of it. So again, from that perspective, we'll have to wait and see what the investment spending brings from the tax cuts, but right now we don't see a whole lot of it.
And you can catch more of that interview with Mervyn Jebaraj and Roby Brock at talkbusiness.net. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom, providing voice and data solutions that adapt to today's demand with tomorrow's technology. Communication tools that integrate mobility with the desktop and merge wired networks with the wireless technology. More at one-comm.com or 479-715-8800.
Finally today, some jobs numbers to report from the construction industry. According to the Associated General Contractors of America, the state added 3,000 new jobs in the 12-month period from December 2016 to December 2017. That's a 5% increase up to 58,200 workers. Drilling down further into the numbers, the Little Rock Metro led the growth by adding 1,700 jobs. That's a 10% increase. In Northwest Arkansas, there were 700 construction jobs added in the 12-month period, up 7%. Construction jobs in Fort Smith were stagnant, reporting 5,300 workers in both December 2016 and December 2017. Remember to keep up with our daily reporting of stories like this and others at nwabusinessjournal.com. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville. And speaking of Bentonville, the Bentonville Public Library will open Thinking Money, an exhibition that's designed to increase media literacy for families. It begins Saturday afternoon at 1 in the Walmart Community Room at the Bentonville Public Library. There are going to be different activity stations as part of the Thinking Money exhibition. It's free. The Bentonville Public Library, one of 50 libraries across the nation selected to host Thinking Money. It's from the American Library Association Public Programs Office. And you can learn more at bentonvillelibrary.org or by calling the library 271-3192. Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3. I'm Kyle Kellums. We'll be back tomorrow at noon and 7 with another brand new edition of our daily show. And don't forget, we have a weekend edition as well. Sunday mornings at 9, weekend Ozarks at Large. Some new material, but some of our favorite stories and interviews from the past week. Weekend Ozarks at Large every Sunday morning at 9. And if you ever miss a show, well, subscribe to us as a podcast, and that won't be a problem. It's a free podcast. You can get us through Stitcher, through iTunes, the NPR One app. We also have some recent editions of Ozarks at Large available through the free KUAF app. We'll end this Thursday edition of Ozarks at Large with music recorded in the Carver Center for Public Radio by Escape Tones. They will be performing tonight at Core Public House in Fort Smith. You can learn more at the Escape Tones Facebook page. Thanks so much for spending part of your Thursday with us. People always say there's a better way, yeah. People always